Cryptids and MILFs. I'm your host, Amanda.
And I'm Ella, and you're entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is an X-Files rewatch podcast in which we rewatch the X-Files, as you might have guessed by the sentence I said earlier.
Yep.
And this is my first time ever watching the X-Files, so I'm brand new, like a baby. Born onto the world, wide-eyed and innocent.
An alien baby?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Well, this is my fourth time watching the X-Files. So nobody knows what I look like, but I do look not dissimilar to the other alien body that was under the ground where Mulder was.
What if you did, like, this whole time? Oh, she just looked like an evil, desiccated alien body, and I just hadn't mentioned it.
Well, I mean, now's the time to mention it.
You do, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah. And I think that's delightful.
Okay, yeah.
No judgment.
No. I guess one can't judge oneself. That's not true.
You can. Yeah, that's actually...
You can.
Demonstrably false, yeah, but I appreciate the thought anyway.
Well, tonight is an exciting night.
Why's that?
Because... we're starting season 3. We've made it. This is year 2 of the pod.
Nice. Look at us.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Except we did hit 50 a couple episodes ago, so we're over 50. But year 2.
52 is the big one. 52 of the year.
yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right. So before we get into the actual episode, I'm just going to give you some fast facts about season 3. Because I think I did that with season 2. I'm pretty sure I did that.
I'll take your word for it. It was a half a year ago.
Yeah. So I'm going to continue what I probably did.
Hit me with them.
All right. So this season continued to gain viewership. The numbers steadily went up. The season premiere had a Nielsen rating of 19.4, which more than doubled the season 2 premiere.
So wow.
Everybody wanted to know if Mulder was dead or not.
And he was.
And he was not. Well, was he actually? He wasn't dead.
No.
He was joking. He was close to death.
Yeah, I was just doing a little Josh.
They won 5 primetime Emmys this season.
Ooh.
I don't know for which episodes, but
probably
I guess
this one.
We'll find out. So I guess the season is when the show starts to pick up steam.
Nice. Hits its stride, you might say.
Exactly.
All right.
It's still airing on Fridays, I checked.
Okay, so we're still in the Friday Night Weirdo era, but
yeah,
those Friday Night Weirdos, maybe their cool friends are coming over to watch it too, you know?
A little bit. Yeah, so the general season rankings. So season 1 was number 111 out of all the shows on TV. Season 2 is 63, so big jump. This season is 55, so more of a jump. Season 4 is an even bigger jump, but number 20.
One. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but we're still Friday Night Weirdos at this point.
What was the number 1 show?
I don't know.
I gotta know.
I have no idea. Let's get into...
It was Bones.
Yep. It was Bones. You got it.
It wasn't. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
So that's season 3. So let's get into this episode. The premiere episode.
Premiere?
Yep.
Okay.
So tonight we're talking about season 3, episode 1, The Blessing Way.
I've told you everything I know. To the best of my knowledge, Agent Mulder is dead.
This episode aired on September 22nd, 1995. It was written by Chris Carter. It was directed by R.W. Goodwin, who is our premiere and finale boy.
Woo.
Gotta love him, I guess. I mean, you don't have to, but...
I can't believe you're telling me I have to be in love with R.W. Goodwin.
You have to be in love with Bob Goodwin.
Is he even still alive?
I don't know.
Probably, I guess.
It wasn't that long ago.
Is he even still not a decrepit... skeleton of an alien?
He also looks like me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's beautiful. Are you related?
I actually am R.W. Goodwin, so I'm a little offended that you were making fun of me and all I've contributed to the show.
R.W. Goodwin, a man who looks like a desiccated alien body, isn't going to see your tweet, but your friend who looks like a desiccated alien body will.
Yeah, me.
You know?
I'll see it.
And that was messed up of me. I'm sorry.
I guess I'm happy that you're apologizing, but I'm still hurt.
I'm going to, like, unpack my biases against mm-hmm. both bald men and desiccated alien corpses.
Okay.
In therapy.
I'm happy to hear it.
You're welcome. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, this episode takes place in Los Alamos, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., New York City, West Tisbury.
Woo!
West Tisbury, Massachusetts. A short plot synopsis. The cigarette-smoking man works quickly to recover the stolen computer files, but finds himself thwarted by a man who he hoped was dead. Meanwhile, Scully finds herself at a loss for her next step and turns to her family for support, since Mulder is otherwise engaged fighting for survival. Was the cigarette-smoking man really thwarted by Mulder? Or was he thwarted by Scully and Skinner because they're the ones actually hiding the files from him?
Yeah, I mean,
Mulder was kind of dead.
Yeah, he was just kind of dead. Yeah. But we can't have, you know, Mulder not be the action hero in our plot summary. Mm,
of course.
So,
okay. Right.
Frankly, whatever. Scully should be grateful she got a mention at all.
Even though this was a pretty heavy Scully episode.
Can take her. I mean, she is a woman.
That's true. Is Chris Carter writing these plot synopses?
I don't know enough about him.
Okay.
How does he feel about women?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't comment.
That's fair.
We're gonna have to get further into the show.
Yeah, we'll discover that. That's fair.
I have things to say, but I can't say them now. All right.
That's fair. All right. Well, shall we get in? We've already used desiccated meat so many times.
And alien meat.
And alien meat.
Oh, my God.
And burned meat and charred meat.
We need a branch. Okay.
Smoked meat?
I guess. It's so close, though. Gassed meat. Cyanide.
Okay.
What was it? Hydrogen cyanide?
Something bad. They killed aliens.
Cyanide was definitely in it. Yeah. So the cyanided meat.
I don't think you should eat that.
No, no.
But let's do
really
it. Let's crunch on in.
All right, let's do it.
Crunch.
Crunch.
We open. We see the burning boxcar.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it because it did kind of look to me like it was just some guy with a flamethrower just blasting it through the, you know, the hole in the roof of the boxcar.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was supposed to just be a roiling fire, mm-hmm. and it probably was, but it just kind of had a flamethrower look to it.
It's probably Toby down there.
I hope
so. His flamethrower that he brought from home.
Yeah, it's his personal flamethrower. I hope so. Yeah. Man, what a guy. We get some voiceover from Hosteen, the Navajo gentleman, elderly man who was a code talker from the previous episode. He
Albert.
Wasn't a code talker in the previous episode, but
he's
a character from the previous episode.
Yes.
Albert.
Albert Hosteen.
Okay, are we close enough to...
I don't know. I called him Albert in my notes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Allie?
No, he's an Albert.
He's an Albert. It's true. And I don't know. His voiceover is all just mysterious, ancient, stereotypical sayings.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more to talk about at the end of the episode.
Yes.
When I wrap it up, but...
Yeah, he's just like, you know, people only live, or like a fact, a memory only lives as long as the last person who remembers it. So trust memory over history. History only seeks those who seek. Whatever.
Yeah, history seeks those who seek. We've all said it.
I don't know what that note means. Distrust the men who do something.
Something.
These are useless notes. Their false history is written in the blood of those who might remember.
I wrote that down too.
That's a quote.
That was the important thing.
But the important part is the boxcar's on fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he straight up says, like, there's an ancient Indian saying at one point. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're dealing with here. So moving on. We see the military unit or whatever they are. I don't know. I called them military and soldiers, but they're just like evil, shadowy soldiers who are under the purview of the cigarette smoking man. They arrive at Hosteen's house. Sorry, Albert's house.
Yeah, please.
The Hosteen residence.
There you go, because there's more than, yeah. There's three of them.
Exactly. Three men and a baby, if there was a baby.
Yep. The alien baby.
Three Men and a Baby reboot with the Hostings and the alien baby that survived.
I would watch that.
Yes?
I would watch. Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Chris Carter, call me. Call us. I'm not doing this on my own.
No.
We both do it or neither of us does it.
Yes. Okay.
So the cigarette smoking man and the military like burst into the Hosting residence and they're like, Where's Mulder?
Small meme drop. It's not like a big meme, but when the cigarette smoking man comes in, he says, "I want Mulder and I want those files." Small meme drop.
Okay,
I've seen that one floating around.
It's pretty good.
It's not on the par of others, but memes where you see them.
It's no, what is it, Scully? You're not going to believe this.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's something.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. I feel like the whole half of the internet is closed off to me because I can't explore these memes.
Yeah, one day.
One day.
It is kind of sad that you're doing an X-Files podcast and you can't look at the memes.
I know, but alas, it is what it is. Yeah. In 3 years, I'm just going to jack right into the internet and blast my eyeballs with all of the X-Files memes that exist.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's a lot of them.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. So they...
They hit an old man.
Yeah.
Not cool. And a normal man. A younger man.
Wait, let's unpack this.
And they also beat up a young man. So old man, normal man, young man.
They really just beat up the whole Hosting family. Yeah. Not the alien baby because they already murdered all of them.
Yes. They don't know about the alien baby.
Yeah, it's a grim end to Three Men and a Baby.
A secret shadowy organization bursts in and beats them all to death. Yeah. That's how the show ends.
Yeah. But it's like just a normal sitcom before that.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm out of
it's
this
a tonal
show.
Shift.
I'm
what?
Out of this show.
No, it'll be great. It's a statement on U.S. imperialism.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Yeah,
but like, right. But it's also a bummer.
But it's also bad.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not think imperialism is bad? Interesting.
I just said it was bad, and I was talking about imperialism.
Oh, okay. So that's bad. The shadowy soldiers are just abusing random indigenous people. That's not good. Scully rushes to the scene of the... Scully rushes to the scene of the Hosting house. She's there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she arrives. She sees, Hosting and all the Hostings. Mm-hmm. Albert, Eric, the normal
Hosting.
Normal Hosting. And their wounds and everything. And they give her some of the deets about where Mulder went. And so she rushes to the scene of the smoldering boxcar.
The smoldering boxcar?
Yeah, because it smells like burnt Mulder flesh.
Although, as we see, he's not that burnt.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
I assume we learn how he got out at some point.
Do we? I feel like if they were going to explain it, they would explain it in this episode.
Then what happened? How did he get out?
I don't think it was explained very well. I guess he crawled out of, or maybe there was, okay. Oh. Wait. There was because in the little short flashback we saw when the aliens were being gassed, they all started crawling through a hole. So maybe there was a hole in the boxcar so he into the ground. So he crawled through the dirt and there was like a hollow in the earth.
Okay.
Yeah, because there was another alien in the earth. So he crawled through the hole that some of them got out of.
Okay. I see. I didn't catch that was the implication. I thought he had dragged an alien body with him as evidence.
No. I think he crawled out of the hole in the boxcar.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That was my bad then.
Just putting that together right now.
Okay.
So
okay. Well, that makes sense. Never mind. It's an airtight story. I don't know what I was thinking. And Scully does not find Mulder. She screams for him, but the echoing red hills don't respond.
Oh.
He's dead.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. Credits. Credits over. We're driving. northwest of Los Alamos, New Mexico. Scully is driving at night when a helicopter appears, a big spotlight on her, runs her down. I think we were joking that it's definitely Skinner, because he's really mad at her that Scully did not show up to her meeting. Yep. So he's got his gun out the window. He's like, Scully, we had a meeting.
You were on my calendar, and my calendar is very full.
It's so full.
If you miss a date with me, I can't promise that I'll be able to meet with you this year.
It's just inconsiderate of his time, his valuable time.
She knows how many boyfriends he has, doesn't she?
I don't know. Although, I mean, she probably doesn't. I guess
the schedule's cleared up a little bit now that Mulder's dead.
That's true. That's true.
That helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a very funny joke because it's not Skinner. It's a bunch of soldiers. The aforementioned jerk soldiers. They jump out of the helicopter. They drag her out of the car. They point guns at her. Not cool. I didn't like the main soldier guy that was talking. He had just a dumb face. And I didn't like it.
I didn't notice, but I'm sure you're right.
I didn't care for his attitude.
Well, mostly. I didn't care for their attitudes. They were real dinks.
So they're looking for the files, the files that we were talking about in the last episode, the MJ files, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they open the trunk and they take the paper copy out of the trunk, but they want the original data copy. And Scully says she doesn't have it, but Mulder does. But Mulder's super dead, so I don't know. So then they just like leave after robbing a woman on the highway.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Highway robbery, you might say.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There's a word for it.
Messed up.
Yeah.
What if you got assaulted by a helicopter while you were driving home? I'd be so mad.
I would definitely be mad. It's kind of cool.
I would use it in Two Truths and a Lie for the rest of my
life. I would
life.
Never shut up about it.
Yeah, I'd be like, but she's had such an interesting life. She's got so many of those.
I mean, Scully, it happens to her all the time. But like, you know, if it happened to a normal person, a normal Hostine.
Is there anything, I'm looking ahead in the podcast, nine seasons in, we've done it. Is there anything that would be funny if we did Two Truths and a Lie as Mulder and Scully? Would that be funny?
Okay. All right.
Role playing?
Sure. Write it down.
Yeah. One time I got...
Why would we have to wait until nine seasons in?
Because I don't know what shit happens. I could say something.
Oh, that's true.
As a lie that's like, oh, nope, that's... Season 7, episode 3.
That's right.
Scully does eat a pterodactyl.
Yeah, you probably could say some crazy shit right now, and there's some episode where that happens.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess she, after that, just has to drive home.
Yeah.
Which...
All the way back to Washington.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But
she probably didn't drive. She probably flew.
This is a good question, because is it her car? Because she drove across country the first time.
That's true.
Much warning. So she might have had to drive back.
Maybe.
Because it might be her car.
Could be. No idea.
I don't remember what car she was driving.
All cars in the X-Files look the same.
Exactly. But anyway, she gets back. She's in Skinner's office, and there are other higher-ups from the FBI there
bunch
as
of jokers.
Well. A bunch of real jokesters in this room. And they're all telling Scully that she's being forced to take a mandatory leave of absence without pay or benefits because she... interrupted Skinner's orgy schedule. And it's like
very
weird.
Serious.
It's weird that they just say that.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, I guess that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We get the classic scene where she slams her service weapon and her badge down on Skinner's
desk.
Oh,
yeah. She's going rogue.
Oof. You know what that means. The gloves are off.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Nothing's tethering her now.
Nope.
And then, you know, she says, to the best of her knowledge, Mulder is dead. And Skinner, as she's leaving, is like, well, that went pretty bad, but I think I could make this meeting go even worse. And he says, don't think this hasn't been difficult for everyone.
She looks so mad. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen her look so pissed off.
This was acting. This was, like, the most withering look.
Yeah. She did the, like, she pursed her mouth and she's like... Don't get me started. Don't do it. And then Skinner does get her started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typical Skinner. That's just the Gemini in him. He can't leave a
for
fight.
For sure.
Again, don't know what the stereotypes of a Gemini are, but I guess.
I don't know.
Now
we've
it's that they can't. Now it's that they can't leave well enough alone.
Mm-hmm.
We've all said it.
Yep.
So she leaves. But she ends up in the room of the orgy organizer, receptionist.
I have orgy coordinator sighting.
Yeah.
In all caps.
Who now just hears the rest of this entire conversation. I know, so keep right that in mind. So there's just a random employee listening to all of this. As Scully is like about to leave, Skinner stops her. And, you know, they have this whole conversation where, I don't know, Scully wants to know who all these people are, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Skinner's like, they're just doing their job. But Scully's super pissed, and she's talking about, you know, like, is anyone going to face justice, like the people who poisoned Mulder's water supply and basically mm-hmm. caused that old woman to murder her husband, among other things, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, like, nobody is going to face justice. This is all bullshit. I hate you, Dad.
Yep.
Et cetera. And then, you know, Skinner just keeps being like, oh, we're going to find them. Don't worry about it. And then Scully absolutely annihilates him.
She does.
And she's like, with all due respect, which is none, I think you overestimate your position in the chain of command.
Ooh, get him. Get him, girl.
That's what happens when you make her put her badge down.
I know.
You know?
She will kill you. And I support her, of course, in all things. Yeah. All the time.
All things?
I guess. I don't know.
Has she ever done a wrong thing?
I mean, yeah, probably, but I still support her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And that's love.
That's love, baby. Hmm. That's what I learned from Succession.
Well, what?
So Scully goes down to the X-Files office and goes rummaging around in Mulder's desk for the data copy disc, whatever it's called. I don't know.
The cassette.
I don't know. But it's missing. Somebody took it.
Obsessed with the fact that he hid the incredibly... you know, damning evidence mm-hmm. that he had of government mm-hmm. corruption mm-hmm. just in his desk at work mm-hmm. at the government.
Well, he taped it to the top of the drawer, so it's sneaky.
Skinner almost couldn't find it, you know, I bet. I bet it was hard for him to find.
Probably, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. who does that?
Mulder.
Oh my God. Give it to, like, one of the lone gunmen or something. Like, literally anywhere would have been better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he was like... Nobody's going to think that I put it in this stupid of a spot. No one's going to foresee this.
That's possible.
And only Skinner knew, and Scully, because yeah. they're the only ones that know him.
Enough to know he's a big dumb idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
We cut to 46th Street in New York City. It's Evil Guy Office. I don't know.
That's New York for you.
We'll have to keep a lookout for a team name for these guys, I think. We don't have one yet. But
the
we'll
League
have to...
of Extraordinary Douchebags?
Maybe. It's a work in progress.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. So it's just a bunch of old evil men. Cigarette smoking man plus his only friends in the world.
The Diamond Dicks?
Maybe.
We'll think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
So it's just like a bunch of old evil men, and they're all in a tizzy because these files weren't meant to be seen. You know, what if the public finds out about it? Oh my God, all our evil work will be undone, da-da-da-da-da. But the cigarette smoking man is like, everything's fine, everything's in control, we've definitely recovered the files, we can make everything go away quietly, you know, Mulder's dead, it's all good, calm down, and all that. They do mention the Mulder problem, which, like, that's, like, in all, like, the Mulder problem, which they could just rename the whole show, the Mulder problem.
Which would be pretty funny.
I was trying to think of a team name that we could make for them out of the Mulder problem, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
The Mulder problem committee.
The Mulder... assassination squad.
I get, yeah, that's true.
The MAS.
The mass. I can't believe the cigarette smoking man is lying to his only friends in the world.
I know. Yeah, well, it's a little
intriguing.
Interesting that he's lying to them.
Yeah.
Weird. I mean, he's been pretty evil so far, and he still is evil, but he's lying to these guys.
Yeah. Do we believe that he even knows what, like, a data file is? You know what I mean? He's, like, a very old man. Are we sure that he doesn't think that he's got it? Because he has a paper copy and he's like, yeah, I've got it.
That's it.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Do you think he faxes people and then he's like, can you fax that back to me?
I mean, in the last episode, he was talking to Bill about how, like, oh my God, technology changes so much.
He's
so
just confused.
Maybe.
Maybe he's not lying. He thinks he has it.
Could be. Could be.
No, I'm joshing, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah. So that's all happening. So he's lying to them. That's strange. We do get a guy with steepled fingers, which is very exciting. We'll meet more of him later. Later in the episode.
Is that him?
Yes. Okay. Oh, my God.
They all look the same.
No, they do. They do.
I didn't know which one he was.
Yes, Mr. Steeples does come back later.
Okay.
But, yeah. So there's three important people in this room. There's the cigarette-smoking man. There's Steeple Fingers guy, which I guess we can just drop his dumb official nickname because it's not his real name. He's credited as the Well-Manicured Man. So that's what he's called.
Can we call him Mr. Steeples?
I do like Mr. Steeples better. Well, it's like Mr. Smokestacks is our alternative name for...
Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
And then like a younger guy who's officially credited as the First Elder. Whatever that means. Even though he's younger than the other guys, so it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't even make sense.
I don't even remember him. What was he saying?
He was he was just the most fired up about killing everybody.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That feels right.
But yeah,
maybe elder just stands for excited. Let's destroy everyone, right?
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, well, there you go. That could be their team name. It's a little wordy.
It's not great.
It's too wordy. I like mass better.
I do too. Bunch of mass holes. Am I right?
There you go.
Is that anything?
I mean, they're in New York, so it doesn't quite fit. But. It's close to Massachusetts. They go to Massachusetts in this episode.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. Well, checks out.
Well. All right. But, yeah. So, they're just being evil. Cigarette smoking man might be lying to them. Whatever. We'll return to these fools later. So, we cut. Scully shows up at her mom's house in the middle of the night. She is upset. Perhaps because Mulder... She thinks Mulder is dead. And I guess so do we. We don't know he's alive yet.
He is dead.
He's dead forever.
Yep.
So she's very sad and she doesn't even have her shoes on. She's like, I had to take them off because they were giving me blisters. And Scully's mom is like, oh, are you all right? And she hugs her and it's very sad. Poor Scully. She's not having a good week this week.
No. And she's like, she thinks she did something super wrong. She says she made a terrible mistake and that her dad would be ashamed of her.
Yeah. So I don't.
What does she think she did specifically?
Wasn't able to save Mulder, or she like lost the files, or she lied to her superiors? Is that what it's about? But she's done that before.
Yeah.
And it was for a good cause. So
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I guess she's just bummed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bad day, bad week.
That's true.
Or maybe it's that she got fired.
Maybe. What if that's what she actually said? About? She doesn't care about Mulder at all. She's just bummed about the whole being fired thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
I think it's all of the above, perhaps.
That is a bummer.
Yeah.
What if she like had a doctor's appointment and that's what she's upset about because she just lost her benefits?
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, she's probably going to have to go to the... doctor, you know, sometime in the near future.
What's that?
Well, we'll get to it. I don't want to spoil the, you know, what happens in 20 minutes.
Do you think he builds her?
Probably not. He's a pal.
Yeah.
Now, whatever that guy, what was that guy? Chuck?
Chuck
would have built
her. Or whatever. I don't know what his name was.
King of digital imagery.
Hate that guy.
Whatever. Fucking Chuck.
Ugh. Anyway. So Scully's having a mental breakdown at her mom's house. Meanwhile, in New Mexico, we get some more Albert voiceover. Some boys, like little boys from the reservation, come to the Hosteen house and tell Eric, the young Hosteen, that they saw some buzzards out in the desert. And so we get quite a bit of monologuing about how buzzards mean that there's something dead or close to dying nearby.
Mm-hmm.
there's some real, like, judgment, I would say, about buzzards, where Costine's like, they're lazy bastards who don't even kill their own meat.
And I was like, I love buzzards.
Isn't that, like, kind of their role in the world?
I guess.
Let's not judge them for that.
I guess. I love a good buzzard.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I thought he was very judgmental.
Well, he's canceled. Get him out of here.
Albert's canceled. We get some very dramatic shots of, you know, him kind of shot from below against the blue sky with the buzzards in the background. Mm-hmm. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it did.
And he says something about how he remembers, what does he say? It's like something about how he found a dead body or a body in the desert at some point when he was a young man.
Yeah. Somebody got lost, like, years ago, and they crawled underneath the ground to avoid the sun, and then Albert checks the exact same place and finds a hand. Just a disembodied hand. Nothing else.
Yeah, Mulder's dead, but his hand got cut off in the process. It's grim.
His hand just flew off. Just,
It's like a Ken doll or something. Or, like, I guess not a Ken doll, but some sort of doll that has an articulation in their wrist, and it just popped off.
Yep.
It made a sound, too.
Exactly.
It was horrible.
It would be kind of funny if, like, at the end of the last episode, like, you know, all the dramatic stuff happens, and then they all fly away, and, you know, the last dramatic shot of the fire and everything, and then it just, like, sits there for, like, 10 seconds, and then pew, and then it ends. That would be funny.
Just a hand flying out.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny. I don't know why they didn't do that.
I'm shocked.
Maybe it was like an after credits scene that we missed.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be.
No, that's silly. Mulder's still alive and whole. So they dig him out. Blah, blah, blah. At this point, I wrote a bullet point. Are there no women living on this reservation? Because I don't think there's a single woman in this anywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, it is the X-Files.
I get, did they, like, intentionally put out a call for no women extras? How do they even do that statistically?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, so they take him. They talk about how he can survive in the desert. There's a lot of voiceover. Albert talks about how one survives in the desert by staying out of the heat and the direct sunlight and everything. This is where we also see the creepy alien body that looks like Ella, also in the hole with Mulder. And then, you know, we learn that Fox would have died if he hadn't stayed underground. But even so, he's pretty close to death.
Yeah. Doesn't look good.
No. So they take him away to a Hogan, I think they call it.
Yes.
And they save his life by doing, and I quote, an ancient ritual called the Blessing Way chant.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're doing that. We cut. Scully is asleep in bed alone. It's 11:12 and there's nobody to call.
Oh.
Is that the time 11:12, right?
I don't know if we I don't know if we saw a clock this episode, did we?
No.
But yes,
but
I think
that was the time.
Yeah. I think so.
So nobody to call, so she's all alone. When there is a knock at the door. Is it evil government agents? Is it, you know, a murderer? Is it Mr. Squeeze?
Nope. None of these.
It's Frohickey. He's also not doing too good. He heard the news about Mulder. He's pretty sad about it. He's drank an entire bottle of something.
Some liquor.
Some, I don't know. What's the funniest liquor? Peach schnapps?
That's pretty good. Bailey's Irish Cream.
Just drink that straight. Yeah. Could be.
Something like
that's what he's drinking. Yep.
Watermelon vodka.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
So Scully invites him in. She pours them both some coffee. They reminisce about their old friend. Frohickey has a good line he says about Mulder that he was a really good friend. He was a redwood among mere sprouts.
Aww.
That's a good line.
Yeah,
he was.
Poor Mulder.
And is, because he's not dead.
No, he's dead. And it's so sad.
Okay. I mean, I think we can acknowledge how sad it is for the characters, even though the audience knows he's not going to die.
That's fair.
You know, I guess that's storytelling.
I don't know what that means, and I'm scared.
All right.
So they, you know, Scully breaks it to Frohickey that she's about to be fired, so she's not going to even be in a position to carry on Mulder's work. And then they kind of reminisce about those bastards. not reminisce, sorry. What's the word?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Complain together.
Commiserate.
Commiserate about those bastards, thank you. And then Frohickey gives Scully a newspaper clipping about the Thinker's mysterious death, so we do know that he was murdered. Mm-hmm. Execution style. He did not escape.
Oh, sadly. Poor Woody Harrelson in a wig.
Very sad. A bad wig. And most importantly, we find out that that happened on April 16th.
Still, did you write down the rest of the dates after this?
No.
Wow.
They didn't provide them this time.
Wow. You should have done the math. Should have done the math.
But the important thing is that that happened after Mulder disappeared.
Yes.
I don't really know why that's important, but it is.
Because she wants them to, because if they check the ballistics and it's the same gun that killed Mulder's father, then Mulder couldn't have done it.
Oh, right, because he's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope,
yeah.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. I kind of like this scene. It was sweet seeing the crew hang out.
I know. I was like, where's the rest of them? How are they doing?
They passed out.
Oh,
they all started drinking at the same time, but Frohickey has a higher tolerance, so yeah. he's still up and about.
That feels so true. Yeah. There is no part of me that doubts he has the highest tolerance of those three.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah,
fair enough. I'm wasting time. I was going to ask, does Mulder have a high tolerance? I feel like Scully could drink Mulder under
yeah.
the table.
Yep,
right?
yep. Okay. For sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
I feel like Mulder is a lightweight.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It feels right. True yeah. in my heart.
Because it's funny, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So we cut back to the healing ritual that's happening in New Mexico. You know, there's a lot of stuff. They're summoning holy people. There's sand art. That's probably a dismissive way of putting it. I don't think it's not like art. It's part of the ritual, but you know what I mean? The sand.
I think it is called sand art.
Is it? Okay.
Well,
I want to make sure.
I think it's called sand art.
Okay.
Yeah.
The ritualistic creation of sand images
yeah.
that is part of a ritual.
Yep.
And all of that. I don't know why I'm like bending over. But this episode is incredibly, well, we'll talk about it.
Yep.
With how it depicts Navajo culture. But anyway, we get more Albert's voiceover where he is fearing that Mulder's spirit doesn't want to be healed and maybe wants to, you know, meet with his dad who also just died and not come back to the world. And I was like, that's because he didn't meet Scuba Bill. I don't think Mulder wants to go meet with his dad in the afterlife. But okay.
Well, he does.
Well, temper a little conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's time for Mulder's one breath moment.
Yeah, it's not as good, is it?
Hey, we get our boy.
I am excited about Deep Throat.
Yeah,
I do love Deep Throat. I'm sorry. I do love Deep Throat. Of course.
I like this scene.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Wow, I can't believe you fucking hate Deep Throat.
No, I love Deep Throat. Why was he talking like a Shakespearean character? The writing was insane.
I liked it.
Okay.
I don't know. I like dramatic speeches.
Yeah, but like Scully's dad had a dramatic speech yes. that was still well written. This is just like, okay.
I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it.
Some people have bad opinions and that's okay.
Well, some of us are old aliens, okay? And we haven't seen a lot. It's like, I'm like the Galaxy Quest alien, you know? This is the only thing I've seen, so
yeah,
it's what I judge reality on.
Getting a lot of X-Files vibes from this.
So Mulder is floating on a bed in the night sky. There's some, I don't know, cloaked or like figures in shadow watching over him in the void. I thought it was a cool little image. It felt like a Twin Peaks-y, which mm-hmm. you haven't seen, but it felt like a Twin Peaks. This scene felt like a Twin Peaks scene.
Okay.
So... and then a figure steps out of the darkness. And who is it?
Mr. Mulder.
Missed him.
It's been so long.
It's been a whole season without our boy.
Mr. Mulder, it's been 52 calendar weeks.
It has. Exactly. Well, it's
April 16th, Mr. Mulder. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you gotta, you're brushing off your deep throat voice, you know? It's been a long time since we've deployed it.
This is good. I feel like I don't have as good of a, I don't know, for anyone else, you know? I'm not good, to be clear. I don't mean actually sounds like him. But yeah. Where are my other impressions?
Well, it's all about the Mr. Mulder.
Mr. Mulder.
You know, it's all carried in that phrase.
True.
I think.
That's real.
Yeah.
So what does he say?
Well, so he has this stupid fucking speech that sucks shit.
Well, this is why I'm letting you describe it. I mean, it's fine.
No, it's okay. It is very dramatic.
Yeah.
I understand, yeah. But I still liked it.
That's okay. I guess it's just the difference between Scully's inner psyche and Mulder's inner psyche.
Yeah. I mean, One Breath was better. Yeah. I think we can all say that, but I still enjoyed it.
Okay.
I don't know. So Deep Throat's talking. kind of strange that he gets an appearance in the afterlife, but, you know, I guess he's important.
Deep Throat and Mulder's dad are the only two people that he cares about who have died.
I guess so.
I would have liked, personally, if Jersey Devil Woman had been there.
She is dead. She got shot. That's right. Yep. I mean, there's no reason to say that she wasn't one of the figures in the background.
That's real.
She could have been.
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah. So Deep Throat's talking, and he has his special little voice that we all know and love, and he's, you know, I don't know. He says all sorts of stuff. He says, you know, I'm coming to you with the dull clarity of the dead. I thought that was a good line.
Okay.
He talks about how Mulder has to, you know, don't die because he still has work to do. I don't know. What does he say? He says, there is truth in death, but no justice or judgment. And without that, truth is a vast dead hollow. That was a good line. Come on. That's a good line. Okay. A vast dead hollow. Come on.
I mean,
on.
That's fine.
Come on.
Honestly, Deep Throat's like fine or whatever. I feel like his dad is extra weird.
Well.
We'll talk about it. But...
Well, we haven't gotten to him yet. Yeah. To Bill.
Deep Throat's fine. I love his... I mean, what else are you going to do if you're dead besides write dramatic monologues?
Listen. Listen to the monologues?
Of other people or your own?
Wait. I thought you said, what are you going to do if your dad writes a monologue?
Oh, no. What else are you going to do if you're dead?
Oh, if you're dead.
Sorry.
Oh.
That makes more sense. I was like, what?
Well, if you're dead, then you're going to write a monologue.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Okay, we're on the same page. Okay, go on. Go on.
I don't know. And then we get an evil flashback. I don't know why we got a flashback here.
That's kind of funny. Is Deep Throat zooming memories into Mulder's brain?
I don't know. But we got a flashback of the aliens in the boxcar. They all got gassed to death. It was pretty horrifying. Mm-hmm. They crawled through a hole in the side.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. which I guess is how Mulder survived. And now Scuba Bill shows up.
Papa
Bill.
Love him.
Papa Mulder.
Papa Dick.
William.
Yeah.
Mulder.
Yeah.
Senior. Junior. I don't know. So Mulder does... Scuba Bill gives his whole special speech, and then Mulder does, like, open his eyes and, like, look at Bill... But he didn't do that with Deep Throat, which is very hurtful.
I know. He was pretending to be asleep the whole time Deep Throat was talking to him.
Mm-hmm. He heard the whole thing, but didn't bother to say anything.
I guess he was probably also like, Deep Throat? Really? Like, you know, if you were like near death and it was like a colleague that you worked with for like 10 weeks, you'd be like, really? This guy? Is there anyone else? Like Samantha or someone, which is addressed. I know. But I imagine what he was thinking.
I mean, they're both bonded with their love of the truth.
It's true. I mean, I'm not mad that Deep Throat's here. I'm just saying, maybe Mulder was like, I'm not going to wake up for this one.
He was sleepy.
He was dying.
He's on the verge of death.
My God.
Yeah.
You got to cut him some slack.
Come on. So I don't know. Bill's talking about, you know, his lies and how he couldn't live with the truth anymore, and how he's ashamed of all the choices he made so long ago when Fox was a boy. Still don't know about that one, but
yeah, he says one of the lies was a pox and poison on his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still want to stand by this writing?
I don't I didn't have a problem with it.
A pox and poison on his soul?
Why not?
Oh my God.
I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't know. What else did he say? I don't know. He talks about the truth because we love the truth on this show. He's like, if you die, the truth will die, and then only the lies will survive us. And then Mulder asks him if Samantha is here in the afterlife, and Bill says no.
She went to hell.
She went to hell. Which, well, that was also the afterlife.
That's true. You're right. I guess so. Scuba Bill should be in hell.
Maybe. Well, we haven't found out what he did yet.
I'm just kidding.
We'll
I'm not moralizing. I don't, you know, believe in hell. Anyway.
So that's two different people saying that Samantha isn't dead, so.
That seems like a good sign.
Yeah.
But what's happened to her? She's probably going to be fucked up.
Probably.
So, I don't know.
She's living in a hole with an old dead alien.
Is Mulder probably equipped to deal with this? He's going to have to, like, preemptively go to therapy so that he can help Samantha when he finds her.
I mean, he did already go to hypno-regressive therapy.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess he's healthy then.
Yeah.
He's healed.
Not yet.
I know. I'm kidding. Okay. So that happens. It's pretty wild. And we cut back to Scully. She is entering FBI headquarters through the front door instead of the employee entrance.
With the rest of the hoi polloi.
Can you imagine? Humiliating. The security guy comments on it. He's like, ooh, making you come through the front door, huh, Dana? I don't know if he calls her by her first name. He probably calls her Scully. It doesn't matter. So she walks through the metal detector and it goes off. And the security guard wants her, and he's like, whatever, this metal detector is really sensitive. You can go on. I know you. You're cool.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
And then Scully pulls a gun out and shoots him.
And then she... everyone in the FBI. She's really lost it.
Whoa.
It's not good.
Feels a little out of character for her.
I know.
Honestly.
I thought this was a weird choice, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. So Mulder's going to come back to Scully in prison for mass murder.
I guess.
But that's fine. So she goes up to Skinner's office and they chat for a little bit because she wants to show Skinner the news article from Frohickey, as you explained, if the Thinker was killed by the same person that killed Mulder's dad. After Mulder went missing, the Mulder did not kill his dad or the Thinker.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like pretty good evidence. And Skinner's just like, you don't even work here anymore. Why are you here? You've been canceled, and I don't
Get
have
out.
To listen to
Get
you.
Out.
This doesn't do anything, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, saying that because, like, they would have already pinged it if there was a ballistics match in those two, because they're all in the same database or whatever, so he's not going to double check because they would already know if it happened.
Skinner, you should know better. I guess he does.
He's intentionally not being helpful. And he kind of throws her words back in her face a little bit where he's like, I think you underestimate the duties and responsibilities of my position as assistant director.
Ooh, rough, rough, rough.
These folks have quite a sparring match going
on
this episode.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Scully, I want the tape. Do you have the tape? And she's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have a tape. Whatever.
What's a tape?
What am I, old?
Like scotch? Scotch tape or what?
I have an iPod Nano because I'm not embarrassing. and so she leaves, whatever, and the cigarette smoking man immediately comes out of the other door to Skinner's office.
There's like 57 doors in this office. It's ridiculous.
And there's a cigarette smoking man behind every one of them, which is exhausting for Skinner to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, how does he get any work done? This guy's always in his office.
Always there.
Can you imagine answering emails with, like, a guy smoking and staring at you the whole time?
I don't know.
It's so stressful.
Oh, no wonder he has to cut back on the weekends to deal with the stress.
I know. Good grief.
Oy, 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 oy.
Anyway, so the cigarette smoking man is like, hey, did you ask her about the tape? It seems like Skinner is really between a bit of a rock and a hard place here.
Mm-hmm.
He's in an unenviable position.
He's in front of a... No. Cigarettes aren't rocks, are they? He's between a cigarette and a mass place.
Cigarettes just aren't rocks.
No. They're not.
We've all said
Have you ever thought about the fact that cigarettes are not rocks?
They're not even rocks. And they don't rock because they give you cancer. Kids, don't smoke cigarettes. Come
there
on.
There you go.
Come on. So that's weird. And then the cigarette smoking man is just like, well, that's unfortunate for everyone. So he's like, I already lied to my friends.
Yep.
And said we had it.
He loves lying.
Dear. This is quite a conundrum.
Can we go back to the deep throat voice? I miss the deep throat voice.
This is quite a conundrum.
I don't like this voice very much.
Dear me.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
Mr. Walter Skinner.
Ooh, it's not. It's nothing.
No, I hate it. Sorry.
Scully goes downstairs. She's leaving, but before she leaves, she asks if she can go through the metal detector again. And again, it goes off. So she asks the security guard to run the wand over her, and he does. And then it goes off when he goes over the back of her neck. So, but she's not wearing a necklace or anything. So,
That's fine.
So she goes back to somewhere. Now, I was going to say she goes back to the X-Files office, but she doesn't because she's been fired.
Yeah.
She goes somewhere.
She's somewhere. I don't know if it's like old other office when she was teaching at Quantico or something. I don't know.
Could be. The Georgetown University? They're always going there.
Yeah, it might be
like
that.
All the time.
Yeah.
Whatever. She goes somewhere and gets an X-ray done and finds a small piece of metal embedded in the back of her neck. So that's not good.
Probably not.
No.
You know, the guy who's taking it out thinks it's shrapnel or something.
Yep. And there's a small scar on the back of her neck. So he's like, her colleague is like, yeah, I don't know. You're probably just wounded in the line of duty and you didn't even know it. Or maybe you were implanted with an evil tracking device when you were abducted and missing for 5 months.
It could be that, too. I mean, 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Same diff.
So he's like, yeah, I can just take it right out. So we're going to figure out what it is.
That's good.
But first, we go back to Mulder. He went through a really bad fever for 3 days, but then on the third day, he woke up.
What date is that? Would that be like April 20th? Or
I don't know. You were supposed to keep track. It was not my responsibility. It was your responsibility. So I have no idea.
I think it's like April 22nd.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. So on April 22nd at 10:15 a.m.
It's dark.
At 10:15 p.m., Mulder wakes up and asks for water. So, oh my gosh, he's not dead. So exciting. So he slowly recovers his strength. He eats some food. You know, he gets a bath. It's all good.
He's wrapped in a little blankie.
It's very cute. Yeah. So he's not dead. Very exciting. We cut back to Scully. They are checking out the little whatever it is in Scully's neck. They look at it in a microscope, and it looks like it's a small computer chip.
I think we all know what that means.
What does that mean?
Come on. She got the Pfizer vaccine.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, where are we going with this? All right.
My wacky South Park humor.
Oh, that's hilarious.
About microchips and vaccines.
It's funny.
Anyway, that's not a good thing that she's got a microchip in the back of her neck, huh?
Nope.
Probably.
No, it's bad.
It's probably bad, right?
Yeah. Yeesh.
Oh, well. So she goes to her sister, Melissa, just to kind of chat about the fact that she got abducted by aliens and implanted with a microchip in the back of her neck.
Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she go to her brothers to talk?
Because they're pieces of shit. And they never do anything for her.
True.
They're not even in this episode. I mean, my God. Whatever. Anyway, so Melissa's just like, that's kind of fucked up. And she really wants Dana to do hypnoregression therapy to uncover memories of what happened to her when she was abducted. And she pulls like a real Mulder, and she's just like, Dana, you've shut yourself off from extreme possibilities. You gotta try this. And she's just like, really knows how to manipulate Scully. Like a sad grieving for Mulder Scully, who's like, fine.
Yeah.
I guess if it's about opening myself up to extreme possibilities, I'll try it.
For you and for Mulder, I'll do it.
It'll be the Fox Mulder Memorial Therapy Session.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
There you go.
So she goes to this hypnoregression therapy, and
we love hypnoregression therapy.
We love it on the show. Is it a real thing?
Yeah.
That people get? Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I guess. I don't know why they would make it up. And she just kind of pauses for a moment with a look on her face that says, why am I here?
Oh, boy.
Before she goes in. But she goes in, and the therapist explains the basics of what they're going to do. And then Scully talks about how she was, you know, when she was abducted, she was afraid that she was going to die. And then the therapist points out that she did not die, so somebody must have cared for her while she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who? Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, men took her, there was a light, there were loud sounds, her ears were pounding, and she's trying to remember the procedure, but the sound is all screwed up. There was some sort of an alarm. She's freaking out. She's, you know, feeling powerless. She wasn't able to resist what was happening to her. And then the therapist reaches over and touches her hands while she's like in the middle of a hypnotic trance. And she understandably freaks out.
Yeah.
She's just talking about feeling powerless and unable to resist people. And he's like, I'll just touch you and see what happens. Yeah.
Well, as we discussed, it might be this guy's first day. No. So he doesn't know any better. But yeah, you know, it just seems like when somebody's remembering the most traumatic experience of their life, you probably shouldn't touch them. Like out of nowhere,
yeah,
you know?
With her eyes closed, like she was not expecting this.
Yeah. He also kind of asks, you know, like the people that were doing this to you, maybe you trusted them not to hurt you. Like maybe it was somebody you trusted, maybe somebody you worked with at the FBI. She can't really remember, but raises some troubling possibilities if that's true.
Skinner.
Well, as we learn later, we might not be able to trust him.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm. he also, like, when he puts her under, he asks her to think of, like, you know, somewhere where she's always felt comfortable and safe. I want to know where that is. It's probably her parents' house or something, but probably. I want to know.
Her parents were actually good, so
yeah,
probably.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was also curious. I was like, are they going to tell us? Is he going to make her say it out loud?
No, they're never going to tell us.
That's a little
secret.
Scully
will take that to her grave.
Maybe it's on her papa's boat.
Maybe.
Although I don't know if he would always feel safe on a boat since there's storms and stuff.
He can swim.
Maybe she can't. Have we ever seen her swim? No proof.
She can swim.
We know Mulder can swim.
Yeah. Scully could come on.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm just joshing. So she is like, I don't think this is working. And then she leaves.
I mean, it's not. So,
which is fair. So she drives home, and as she parks in front of her apartment building, she looks at the front door and sees a bald man that we know and love leaving suspiciously. It's Skinner.
Oh, what is he doing there?
Creeping. Or maybe he's dropping off a casserole. We'll never know.
Could be.
Meanwhile, in Nueva Mexico, there are just a lot of people just hanging out in this this house with this lodge. This Hogan?
Yeah.
With Mulder as he kind of recovers from his experience. And Albert tells Mulder in order to complete the ceremony, he can't bathe or change clothes for 4 days. And Mulder, we know he's okay because he quips.
Mm-hmm.
That's really going to cut into my social life. And then everyone loses their shit laughing.
Like, it's really funny.
You must be careful now to end the ceremony properly. If you leave, you must not do any work, change clothes, or bathe for 4 days.
That's really going to cut into my social life.
Entire, like, group of 15 men or whatever. It's like, holy shit. That's the funniest joke we've ever heard.
They were just being nice. I know. They're like, let's give him a morale boost. You know, he almost died.
It'd be so scary, though, if he made, like, a passably humorous remark and everyone started freaking out laughing.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just messing
with
him.
And then Mulder loses his mind.
he's still alive, but he's not all there anymore. Mm-hmm. Alas. So they also gift Mulder with a sachet, and when he opens it, it is full of sunflower seeds because he was asking for that in the depth of his worst fever.
Aw.
It's pretty cute.
Yeah.
And he, you know, talks about you know, during my fever, I left and I was traveling to a place. And Albert is like, you carry that place inside of you. And I don't know, whatever. It's done. Mm-hmm. And now Mulder can return to the East Coast.
Yes.
To finish what he started.
Where he was born and bred.
I love bread.
Who doesn't? I guess probably some people.
Yeah.
But you're wrong. If you're out there and you hate bread, you're wrong.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It is.
Try it with some butter. Forget about it.
So we cut. Skinner is sitting in his office, brooding on his responsibilities, I guess. When Scully calls and she's like, yeah, why? So I saw you were coming out of my apartment. What, did you want something? Did you want to talk or something? And Skinner's like, nope, I was never at your apartment. You've definitely made a mistake. Goodbye. And he hangs up.
Very impressive lying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then we see that the cigarette-smoking man is, of course, just sitting there. Not even, like, he's not, because Skinner's office is pretty big. He's got, like, couches and stuff. So he could be, like, sitting at a couch reading a magazine. But he's just sitting directly across the desk from him, just, like, just staring.
Like a real creep.
Mm-hmm.
Get a real job.
I know.
Go do something.
I mean, theoretically, he only sits in Skinner's office nonstop during mythology episodes, but still.
During the Monsters of the Week, he's off doing other stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fair.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So is he lying so badly because he doesn't want the cigarette-smoking man to know he was at Scully's, or is he lying... Why is he lying so incompetently? I feel like he could have just been like, I don't know, make up a lie. Be yeah. like, yeah, I was stopping by to, like, check in on you since, you know, you've been through a lot or something.
I think he was trying to, for the cigarette-smoking man's benefit. Because, like, he wouldn't necessarily know who was on the other end.
Mm.
So if Skinner was like, no, Scully, I just came over to talk to you, then the cigarette-smoking man would know that he went over there and he might not be able to be trusted.
Okay.
So I don't think he... Because he goes to talk to Scully later, so he's not necessarily lying to Scully.
That's true. He's okay, just, good point. I forgot that you can't hear what someone the other
that's
line.
That's how phones work.
Well, it just feels like the cigarette-smoking man would be the type who would have a second phone that he would just listen in.
Yeah, probably.
But, okay, that makes sense. Okay.
But his hand, he was busy with the smoking.
Yeah.
So he can't hold two things at once.
He's only got so many hands,
mm-hmm.
and he's old.
Uh-huh.
So we see suddenly a black sky with stars, not unlike when Mulder was in New Mexico and we were kind of seeing his psychological journey towards mm-hmm. the edges of death. And instead of Deep Throat or Bill, we see Mulder, and he talks about the truth and how it binds us together in a dangerous purpose or whatever. And then I just wrote, what is the script? but we... suddenly realize that it is a dream that Scully is having,
oh.
and she's thrust awake, scared. Is Mulder still alive?
Hmm.
She's getting psychic visions about it.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he might be.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. We cut to Bill Mulder's funeral in Boston, Massachusetts. The priest or whoever it is who's running the funeral says some stuff that I don't know if it's entirely true, because he says stuff about how Scuba Bill made the lives of his friends and family full and stuff. Full of grief, maybe.
Maybe.
Friends? Whatever. Anyway, so I guess he had friends. Maybe he did, like, water aerobics with them.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, I guess we could, as we discover, maybe count the cigarette-smoking man and, you know, the other Mr. Steeples. And,
yeah.
You know, so he had like, evil friends.
I mean, I guess that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
I wish I had more evil friends now that I think about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's sad or whatever. And then he does, like, specifically point out that Fox couldn't be there. He doesn't say why, but he's just like, the widow wanted me to make note that Fox couldn't mm-hmm. be there.
And poor Tina Mulder's just standing alone.
Yeah, that's
no
sucks.
Husband, no children. Yikes.
Good grief. She's
last one left.
She's lost them all.
Mm-hmm.
Last one standing. Is she the evil big bad of the whole series?
Did you
plan this?
Pretty cool.
So Dana goes over and talks to Mulder's mom, and she says that she thinks Fox is still alive, just based on a very strong feeling that she's had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an old man, Mr. Steeples himself, watches them mm-hmm. from a distance.
The well-manicured man.
Yeah, Mr. Steeples.
Yeah. I'm just saying that case, you know,
a real
for people who have seen the show.
Oh, that's fair.
His real name is Mr. Steeples, though.
I see.
Yeah.
Jonathan Steeples. Sorry, William Steeples.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Sorry. So that's great. They're chatting as Dana and Tina end their conversation. Scully walks towards her car and she sees the well-manicured man, and he's like, I'm also a friend of the family. Let's chat about a very serious matter for a while. And so they go for a little bit of a turn around the garden to mm-hmm. chat. And he's like, so you think the son is still alive, do you?
You kind of had it before, and now you've lost it, but that's okay. That's okay.
Whatever. So he's like, oh, you think Mulder's still alive? That's interesting. Why's that?
But my best friend told me he was super dead.
And he wouldn't lie to me. We're tight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And then he just says that he's a member of a global consortium that have interests that are being threatened by the tape of information that Scully says she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, threatened enough to murder? And then he says, oh, my, yes.
That was pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. You think the son is still alive?
Who are you?
I'm a member of a kind of consortium. We represent certain global interests.
What kind of interests?
Interests that would be extremely threatened by the digital tape that you are no longer in possession of.
Threatened enough to murder?
Oh, my, yes.
Listen, he's honest.
Oh, yeah,
he's
true.
Like, yes, I am evil, and I'm not going to hide it.
I'm in an evil global consortium, yeah. And I will murder you.
And, you know, it's refreshing,
yeah.
You know?
In light of everyone else denying everything.
Exactly. He's he's honest.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I do appreciate that. No, yeah. You're right. You're right.
I mean, he's not going to tell you the whole truth, but he's not going to lie that he's, you know.
Just an old man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Respect.
I love this man.
Respect to Mr. to William Steeples.
Yeah. Old Billy Steeples over here.
He also tells Scully that her life is in danger because the rest of his evil pals think that she's a threat to them. And he says that they're going to kill her either one of two ways, which is not what you want to hear from somebody. That not like, you know, your life is in danger, but like, they will kill you
and here's
one
how.
Of two ways. Yeah, not good. So he says either they're going to send two men to kill you in your home or in like a parking garage, and then they'll flee the country in 2 hours and they will never be caught. No justice will be served. So that's scary. But then the second way is perhaps even scarier. He says someone close to you, someone you trust, will arrange a meeting. And then it's all over.
Yikes.
So, whoop.
So they've got someone close to her who's willing to kill her?
Sounds like it.
Yikes. So she's like, but like, why did you even kill Mulder? What the heck? And,
And he's.
Does this mean because Scully wants justice and because she doesn't have the tape?
Yeah, he said. Well, she's like, why would they want to kill me? And then he says, because you want something they don't, justice.
Okay.
And because they think you don't have the tape.
Okay.
So there's no reason to let you live anymore.
Okay. I didn't take great notes.
That's okay. And so she's like, well, why are you telling me all of this? And he says, because he feels that his evil pals are acting impulsively and that her death will draw way too much attention to them. And so he doesn't want this to happen. And then Scully gets all mad at him and she's like, well, you're not protecting me. You're just protecting yourself. And he's like, yeah.
He's evil. He
duh,
came
I'm
to you
evil.
Saying, I'm evil. What are you talking about? Why is that the thing that upsets you?
I know. Well, she doesn't like evil people, you know? She's a goody two-shoes.
That's true.
Yeah.
She's got real 4.0 energy to her, you know?
Absolutely.
That's true.
How else would she get into the FBI?
That's also a good point.
Yeah.
All right. So then he kind of talks about what the evil consortium of assholes does.
The mass.
And he says they're in the business of predicting the future, and that the best way to predict the future is to invent it.
Ooh.
That's a pretty good line.
Creepy.
Other than that.
Yeah. I kind of like this guy.
I do like this guy.
I like the cut of his jib.
Yeah. I'll work on my impression.
Yeah.
And we'll get it.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, at Scuba Bill's house, Mama Mulder arrives, Tina, as we call her.
With two E's. I just can't let us forget this.
I hate that.
That's two E's.
T-E-E-N-A. What the hell's going on there? No wonder Scuba Bill left her.
I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding. Of course. So she's, you know, sad that everyone in her family is dead.
Looking at all the family photos.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
And then Mulder, like, jumps up behind her and he's like, I'm home, Mama. It's fine. Don't worry. He, like, comes up behind her, like, puts his hands over her eyes. And then he's like, guess who? And she starts crying and freaking out and hugs him and stuff because, you know, her son's not dead or whatever. That's great. And he's like, I need your help. I don't have much time. He needs his mom to remember. And that does not seem to be something she is good at.
No.
Let me tell you, I just assume that she got Men in Black zapped so many times that she's lost all memory.
Maybe.
I don't know what's going on. Or she's evil.
Or she's lying.
Or she's evil.
Or she's evil.
Or all of the above.
Or all. Yeah.
So, Fox is just like, I need to know more about Scuba Bill. And he shows his mom a picture of his dad and all of his colleagues from the 70s. And he's, you know, begging her to tell him any information. Like, who are these men? Where were they? What were they working on? He must have talked to you about it. Which, I mean, like, okay, it seems like she does know something. But realistically, if you worked for, like, the State Department or the CIA, wouldn't you not talk to your spouse about your colleagues or what you were working on?
You'd think.
I mean, Mulder's like, there's no way you wouldn't know. It's like, well, if he was good at his job, he probably would not tell his spouse, but whatever.
Maybe. But she does seem to know something.
I mean, she does. It's true.
And we do. Well, I feel like we should point out the people that are in this picture.
I didn't recognize them.
Well, I'm going to tell you who's
so thank
in this
you.
Picture.
I appreciate this. Okay, please.
So we see this black and white photo from 1972. So in the photo, among other people, are Bill,
okay,
a cigarette smoking man, Deep Throat, and the well manicured man.
Deep Throat.
They're all in it.
Oh, boy.
All five of those guys. So they all know each other.
Can't believe Deep Throat knew Scuba Bill.
I mean, we kind of knew that, but it's, you know, it's bad to get a confirmation.
I like how he just kept a photograph of his evil team just in his house.
That's very
though.
Funny.
That's pretty good. I feel like I might have shredded that when my son joined the FBI and started looking into this stuff.
You'd think. Yeah, but on the back of the photo, it's just like, my evil crew, smiley face.
Ibiza with the crew.
Yep.
Anyway, so so he's basically like begging his mom to tell him anything and she won't do it. She's just like, I don't know, it was so long ago. I don't know anything, but I guess sometimes his colleagues came to the house, but I don't know. I don't remember their names.
Mm-hmm. Does she or is she lying? Who knows?
That's a good point. If it were me, I would also probably have forgotten.
Well, that's just you.
Yeah, so I get
most
it.
Normal people would. If you're a normal Hostein, you would remember.
We got a real normal Hostein over here. You can recognize faces and remember names.
I guess so.
Interesting. And Mulder just, you know, says out loud that he thinks all of this has to do with Samantha somehow. Mm. So Scully arrives home, and her phone is ringing off the hook. It's apparently Melissa, who says, Dana, it's your sister, which I thought was very funny because I'm like, I don't know. I get it. It's TV writing, but I also want to start every conversation with my family like that. Anyway, so Melissa is like, I'm going to come over to your house. And Skelly's like, cool, sounds great. And then she hangs up the phone and then she's like, oh, damn it.
Wait a second.
Fuck, I forgot. Someone I trust is going to arrange a meeting and kill me. So she tries to call back, but she gets the machine, and so she goes to a chest of drawers, gets out a secret gun, and leaves.
Hmm. Well, she calls her back and says, I'm coming to your house.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. She leaves a note on the machine.
The machine.
The machine.
So Scully goes outside with her illicit firearm. And then a car screeches to a halt in front of her. Who is it? It's Skinner. Another person that she kind of trusts. Less in this episode. Admittedly. But he's like, yeah, I want to talk to you. Get in my evil car and let's go to a deserted location and talk in the dark. And she's like, okay.
Hey, she unzips her jacket pocket, so she's ready to shoot.
Yeah.
But yeah, what the heck? He just wants to go clubbing because Mulder's gone. He's like, I don't have anyone to go clubbing with. Get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
We're going.
Exactly. So Scully gets in the car and they drive away. So they go to Mulder's apartment, his empty, sad apartment. They open the door and then Scully immediately pulls a gun on Skinner and she's like, I'll blow your head off, you son of a bitch.
Eyes forward. Put your hands where I can see them. Don't turn around or I'll blow your head off. Don't think I won't do it, you son of a bitch.
It's pretty funny.
It's going to be pretty awkward when she finds out that he's not trying to kill her. Yeah. She's like, oh.
Or is he?
Well, we still don't know.
I don't know. I can't believe you just spoiled it for me. But no, I was like, this is going to be really awkward when she's presumably reinstated at the FBI. And I mean, I guess I don't know how long Skinner's in the show, but assuming he's still her boss, there's going to be some HR conversations about the time that she almost shot him in the head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in her defense, I'm also very suspicious of him right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he makes her sit on his hands on Mulder's couch.
She makes him sit on his hands.
Scully makes Skinner sit on his own hands.
Yes.
On the couch.
Scully makes Skinner sit on her hands.
It's really weird. He's like, why are you doing this to me? And she's like, I just want to feel that ass. He looks so big in this apartment, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's like some sort of Lord of the Rings force perspective stuff. He looks like he's 20 feet tall.
Yeah, he does.
It's really weird.
It's just like low ceilings. I don't know.
Yeah, which would be uncomfortable for Mulder too, presumably. But anyway, whatever. So now he's in timeout on the couch. And she's like, I want to know whose errand boy you are.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, we cut to Melissa arriving at Skelly's apartment.
Yep.
And that's fine. So she just comes in. She's like, oh, Dana's not here. Boop, makes a little boop, snack. She's like, well, okay. Oh, maybe she went to my house. So then she heads back out and she's totally fine and alive.
Oh, great. Right? Yeah, that's nice.
Right?
No, she opens the door of Scully's apartment and gets shot.
To death. Probably.
Maybe. We don't know.
No, that's fair.
Probably. But we don't know for sure.
By what kind of rat bastard, terrible piece of shit character would shoot Melissa Scully?
Well, so Krycek is here with another guy. I don't think Krycek shot her because the other guy shot her because he was the one that dropped the gun.
Okay, that's fine.
So I mean, Krycek was there and he is, you know, involved. But he's
culpable.
He's culpable for sure. He was not the one that pulled the trigger, though.
Okay, I guess Krycek's fine then. I guess we love him.
I mean, he's still, you know, a bad guy or whatever.
He kind of kicks over Melissa's body and realizes they shot the wrong redhead. And he's like, God damn it. And then they leave. So that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. Scully's not going to be happy about this.
No.
Yikes.
I don't think so.
I can't believe her sister probably died.
We'll see.
A lot of people are dying.
Yes.
Goodness.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Goodness gracious.
Pretty sad.
So we cut back to the Scully-Skinner standoff. You know, Scully's like, how high does it go, man? Just tell me the truth. And Skinner's like, if you shoot me, you'll be in prison forever. So you probably shouldn't do that. And Skinner's like, I came here to give you the digital tape. I've got it in my pocket.
Ooh. And you have to feel my ass to get it.
Yeah, just come on over here and take it out of my pocket, Scully. And suddenly we hear footsteps approaching Mulder's front door.
Uh-oh.
Scully gets distracted just long enough for Skinner to pull his gun out.
Oh, my God.
And now we're at a standstill.
Nice.
To be continued.
It was a pretty good, like, just they both pull guns on each other. Like, brr. Yeah. It's fun.
Again, going to be awkward.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yes.
At the staff meeting. And they're eating sort of stale donuts and talking about this. Oh, that was wacky, right?
Yep. So I assume, you know, whoever's outside the door is, you know, probably some evil government, you know, associate or whatever. But it would be funnier if it was just like an unrelated person trying to break into Mulder's apartment. Because as we've discussed, there is a problem there.
That would feel very right.
It's like the monster of the week for the next episode, but he's a little too early, you know.
Ooh, sorry.
Like, oh, I should come back next week. Sorry, ooh. Sorry. Yeah.
Apologies. I guess I assumed that it was Mulder.
Or Mulder, yeah.
Mm.
Whoever it is, but...
Although I guess I don't know why he would go back to his own house. But as we've discussed, he's kind of an idiot, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. What if you were, like, dead for a couple of days, and then you, like, drove across the entire country, and then your, like, dad was dead and stuff, and then you were like, I just want to change clothes and sleep mm-hmm. now that it's been 4 days and I'm finally allowed to take a bath, and you open your door, and your old partner and your boss are just pointing guns at each other.
Yeah, awkward.
And you're like, now I have to host a party?
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Ridiculous. I just want to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be annoying.
Should have gone to a hotel, I guess.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be continued. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, beans.
Can't believe that Skinner is evil.
I can't believe Skinner's evil and Skinner and Scully are both going to die in the next episode.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
This is the way that it seems to be going, huh?
Good grief. Yeah, I can't keep up.
Mm-hmm. So, drama.
Mm-hmm.
Characters, plot welcome. Revelations. What?
Characters welcome.
Characters welcome. Watermelon vodka. It's all happening in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the crew.
Tell me that crew.
Or should I even say that, or do we have...
You should say it.
All right.
Say it.
Okay. Wow. Said it was going to come in season 3.
It might in post. Okay. Wait, can I get a clean read of Who the Crew?
Just say it. Okay. Yeah. Who the Crew?
Okay, thank you.
All right. I didn't realize that my voice was going to be in the...
We'll see what happens.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I love my... Whatever that voice is. Valley Girl?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll workshop it. We'll figure it out.
All right. Okay. Chris Carter. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Who's that?
So he said that this was one of his favorite episodes to write, I guess. Apparently, he had recently lost a parent at this time. I don't know which one, but
that sucks.
He apparently used that when writing the episode.
Oh, man, I was just going to make fun of it.
Well, now you can't. No, you still can. You still can make fun of a man who lost his...
I was just going to say, well, it did feel incredibly overwritten. So that's unfortunately, I think if you're like really vibing and having a good time sometimes, that means it's overwritten. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Which, whatever. At least he had a good time.
Yeah.
Other people liked it in this room.
other people.
Someone else said it was okay writing, which is shocking to me, room. But whatever.
Yes. So, Matt Beck, the visual effects supervisor, said that the Mulder vision was one of the most difficult scenes to shoot in the season. I guess do they have like a green screen or something? I guess I'm not sure how they...
Yeah, I don't know.
They just had a big room with black stars. I don't know.
He was like floating around though, so...
He was floating around.
I assume they did some sort of FX.
Yeah. Characters not welcome on FX.
Absolutely not. They hate him.
They do. So thanks, Matt Beck, I guess.
He's no Toby Lindala, but he'll do.
Well, he has a different job.
Yeah, but...
Wow.
Yeah, he's fine.
So we did notice this. Mark Snow did change the credits slightly.
Ah, okay.
Which we caught, so we do pay attention.
Nice.
We do notice things.
Yeah, I was like, doesn't this music sound slightly different?
It did.
Okay.
He changed it.
That makes me feel better.
So that's exciting. So we will, I assume, talk about all the Native American stuff. We'll have things to say about it. But apparently, I guess we have to give him a little credit. So Chris Carter did apparently he was invited. So after the last episode, the inaccuracies were pointed out to him. Shocker.
Okay.
So he was invited to go to some Navajo ceremonies. So he sat in on a bunch of ceremonies and stuff, hoping to ensure the accuracy of the events. I guess I don't know if they were accurate, but he did make an effort.
Okay, that's good.
So he did go and sit in on a bunch of rituals and stuff.
And he was invited. That's a good sign.
Yes, okay. They invited him. So, you know, we gotta give him some credit, I guess.
Okay, well, all we can do is learn.
Yeah. And then they did bring in a Navajo sand painter to create. So I think they are called, because they called him a sand painter. So I think that is what it's called.
Okay.
So they brought somebody in to do the sand paintings, and apparently took a whole day to create, which, yeah.
I bet.
It's a lot of sand.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Complicated. All right. So that happened. This is the first episode where Mitch Pileggi is credited under also starring.
Ooh.
Moving up in the world.
Goodness.
Yeah, exciting.
Our favorite
exciting.
Gemini. So that means he probably doesn't die in the next episode, is what you're saying?
It might be the first and last episode. I didn't say that.
That's true.
Also, so this seems to be a recurring theme on the show, but so Nicholas Leah, who plays Krycek, and Melinda McGraw, who plays Melissa, were dating at the time. So
did they meet on set?
I don't know. Probably not. I have no idea.
That's even weirder.
I guess they haven't shared any scenes before this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be. Hmm. I don't know. But yeah, they were dating at the time.
Well,
so.
There you go.
So he shot his own girl. He was in the room when his own girlfriend got shot.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
I guess the actor is a terrible person, too.
I guess so. Wow.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. And then a short little actor segment. This isn't that important, but I feel like I have to point it out. So one of the mass fools. One of the mass fools. The actor's name is Don S. Williams. Just thought I would point out another William to add to the
pile. Oh my God! How deep does this conspiracy go?
Ridiculous.
There are so many Williams.
There's at least four actors with William so far. Probably
right.
More that we haven't noticed.
That ain't right.
A million characters name. It's ridiculous.
Can't handle this.
Yeah.
God.
So, that's all we got.
Hmm.
Too many Williams.
That's what this show could be called The Mulder Problem, or it could be called Too Many Williams.
Yeah.
And they would both work.
Mm-hmm.
I want a sitcom with all of the Williams from The X-Files having to hang out in one room.
Okay. All right. Most of them are related, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's not that interesting then, is it? It's not a good idea.
No.
Anyway, all right. Shall we move on to Blazer Watch?
Mm-hmm.
The segment in which we discuss the blazers that maketh the man?
Yes.
The fashion?
Yes.
The threads?
Yes.
The cloth coverings?
Mm-hmm.
Cloth body coverings?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
I think it was who pointed out, so when Albert and the crew, the Haussians,
mm-hmm.
it was more than just them. But
all men, still.
Yeah. So they're all out in the desert, and as we pointed out, they all just have matching fits from the Levi store. So a lot of jeans, a lot of Western-style flannels. Love it.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of it.
I mean, they're good looks. It's just kind of funny when you see them all together, and they're all wearing identical outfits.
Yes. It was a buy one, get 25... free sale.
And you gotta take that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For good jeans, forget about it.
Yeah.
Frohickey has a fancy little hat. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a fedora.
I think it's the same hat he was wearing last time.
Okay,
but yeah.
Sounds good. And he, I don't know, he's wearing like a leather jacket over a gray Henley and his big round glasses. I mean, it's basically just what he normally wears, but, you know. Want to shout him out?
Sure.
Love his fashion.
Love his fashion. He's a fashionista, I would say.
An icon.
Mm-hmm.
We could all learn something.
Sure. Yeah. Melissa, of course, is always a look and a half. flowy floral shirt, giant crystal necklace, red hair. Gotta love it.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
In the same scene when Melissa and Dana are talking about the microchip, I liked Dana's outfit. Just like real lesbian vibes. Just a big denim shirt.
Oh,
like her big denim shirt with
yes.
the sleeves rolled up.
Yep.
Which I love.
Yeah.
So
respect.
Scully
also, when she was coming into the FBI after she got fired, just her long black coat, clicky chunky heels, classic Scully look.
Microchip in place.
Mm-hmm. Everything in place.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I do have a small, there was a woman at Bill's funeral with a giant hat.
Ooh.
Huge funeral hat.
I can't believe I missed this.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was exciting. Just some extra, but
amazing.
Yeah.
I wish I had a big funeral hat.
I mean, that's something you can get.
That's true. All right, let's move on to FBI Do, the segment where we talk about the development of the beautiful love between the two main characters, Mulder and Scully. We rate them on a scale using the doomsday clock. So 10 minutes to midnight is far from love in the cold reaches of no nuclear war at all. Mm-hmm. 0 minutes to midnight is in the heart of a nuclear explosion. And we're all going to die because of how much they love each other.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it's not good. And so we like to give some examples from the episode at hand to sort of make sense of that scale. So who would we say is 10 minutes to midnight in this episode? I put Scully and Skinner.
Oh.
Because they're not doing good.
I was actually going to give them as an option for zero. There's something happening.
Yeah, hating each other.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, wait, this is revealing some more about you than anything else.
They were interacting a lot, and I don't know.
With guns?
Yeah. I don't know. I was feeling it.
Okay, well, who would you say is 10 minutes to midnight, then?
I don't know, like aliens and cyanide. I don't know. Right?
I mean, it does kill them. That's true.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, good point.
You and Deep Throat.
I love Deep Throat. I just didn't like his monologue.
No, I know.
I love Deep Throat.
I know.
Yes, I love Deep Throat. Yes. Deep Throat and... Well, actually, I guess Mulder and Deep Throat seem to be a 10 because Mulder did not wake up for him.
That's true.
Something's going on.
Mulder and Deep Throat.
Mm.
Yep.
Suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well... Who's a 0 minutes to midnight? I guess Scully and Skinner, the two people who were fighting and shooting at each other?
Yes.
Okay.
I was also Mulder, even though they didn't interact in this episode, but Mulder and Melissa could definitely bond over their love of hypnoregression therapy.
Oh, yeah.
They have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they could vibe.
They could have had something. She's dead, though, so unfortunately.
Yes. Also, I mean, we have the hint of a new polycule on the horizon. All the, you know, Deep Throat and Cigarette Smoking Man and Bill and, you know, I mean, they all know each other, so.
And it was the 70s.
It was the
70s. They were on business trips. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't everyone just having key parties all the time back then?
I assume. Right.
Yeah.
These men. So, hint of a new polycule on the horizon.
I'm excited
we'll
to see
revisit
that. Polycules of Christmas past.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So where does the Boo Crew fall on this scale? I think this is another irrelevant one, right?
Yeah. I mean, Scully was very sad that he was dead, and he did like appear to her in her dreams. So I guess
that's true.
Has to count for something.
That's something.
But yeah. They're on the moon with Ben Franklin.
Yeah, alas. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So I assume we'll address that when Scully realizes that Mulder is still alive.
Yes.
I'm assuming there will be some catharsis.
Probably.
Although maybe not. If she's just like, whatever, dude. I don't care.
Maybe. We'll find out.
All right.
All right.
Well, that's that.
Well, we discussed this in the last episode. Are we going to do our new segment? I wrote
Ooh,
it down.
Yeah.
So we'll see if this sticks, but we're going to try it out. So we're going to try a new segment, Who is the Monster of the Week?
Whew.
So this is our inaugural Monster of the Week.
Yeah. Who acted the worst in this episode?
I mean, it's cheating, I guess, just the cigarette smoking man. But I mean, any episode he's in is,
yeah, he's just so vile.
Yeah.
Who are other candidates? I mean, I guess the well-manicured man. Oh,
well,
Krychek.
Whoever, his buddy.
Yeah.
Krychek's pal.
Krychek doesn't have friends. He just has acquaintances.
Well, I guess it's got to be Cigarette Smoking Man.
Yeah, he's just so obnoxious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Always sitting in Skinner's office. Never leaving.
Get your own office. Maybe they're just co-working. Maybe they've got an arrangement and they hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Skinner doesn't seem too happy about it.
No, that's true.
He wants him out.
Yeah, he's got a nice big office, but no privacy, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hate that.
All right. Okay. So let's move on and talk about our favorite scene or moment from the episode. What do you have picked out? And that you choose right, or I'll be mad.
Oh, God. Well, in terms of like a small, I did like the scene with Scully and Frohickey.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was like, we haven't really seen them interact before, so that was fun.
Other than Frohickey being a creep.
Well, yeah.
And it wasn't this time, so.
Yeah, it was like a, turns out when you have like a real like human conversation with somebody, you'll get along with them more.
Sounds fake.
But, you know, that's what we learned this week. I also just like the well-manicured man and Scully's conversation. He's a little weirdo.
Yeah.
Don't attack me with your claws, but I did like the dream sequence. I loved seeing Deep Throat again.
Well, I've never been more angry. I mean, I'm glad you liked it. I'm just a bitter, angry old broad.
Didn't
appreciate it, which is kind of cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I'm not sad about it. I mean, I wanted to like it.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong that it was a little overdramatic and overwritten, but I don't mind that, I guess.
That's fair.
I don't know.
All right. I liked the end standoff was pretty dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
With Skelly and Skinner. I'm like, I don't know what this jokester is doing. I don't know if he's evil. I don't trust him exactly, but I mean, he seems less evil than the cigarette smoking man, but now I'm suspicious that he was there when Skelly was taken. I don't know. It's all bad.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going on there. But that was good. Again, hard to picture how Skelly is going to continue working at the FBI after this.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to find out. I'm going to be so mad if it's like another to be continued. I will say...
Just never ending.
Yeah. Well, I guess, sorry, this thought is more for the next segment where we rate the episode. So we consider it as a whole and maybe in conjunction with the other piece. The previous one, I guess we can't consider the second sequel. That's not the word you'd use.
The middle child.
The next episode. But we rate it on a scale of 0 to 5 alien head emojis.
Mm-hmm.
And all right. I always make you go first on things. Do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
Okay. Then we can end on a more positive note, maybe. So the racial politics are pretty whack.
They usually are on this show.
As they usually are.
Unfortunately.
I mean, like, in the actual real human world, yeah, I would like to think that a group of people who found someone who was dying would indeed try to help them and bring them back to health and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a choice that was made to tell a story where the only Indigenous people in the episode, their entire story is just about saving the white male lead and helping him. And that's the beginning and end of who they are.
Yep.
And maybe we see them again. Do we see them again?
Well, I can't say that.
Okay. I hope we see them again. But in this episode, at least, it was real just supporting cast. Not a lot going on. I don't know.
Yeah. Except for Normal Hosteen.
Normal Hosteen was, of course, the star main of the character show. Of this episode. That's why we know his name is Normal. Just, you know, ancient Indian proverbs. That's tough look.
It is.
I mean, I don't know that much either, but I suspect that someone who is Navajo would not refer to ancient Indian rituals. They would probably say, like,
actual
Navajo
terms.
Rituals and, yes. and actual terms. For
yeah, it's always, it's never, like, a Navajo ritual. It's always an ancient Indian ritual. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Which?
Who? Be specific. What are you talking
which group?
About? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, treating, like, all of them like it's all the same, which it is not.
Yeah.
And it's whatever.
I don't know. So, again, like all of these things, there are, I'm sure, articles, reams of information written about the racial politics of the X-Files that have been written by people who know more and have more authority to talk on the subject. But I did, definitely feel kind of weird about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Whatever. And that I feel like that did kind of sour it for me because that was so much of the episode was just the ancient wise Indian man and his voiceovers about nature and rituals.
Yep.
And I was like, don't these people like probably have jobs that they have to go to and stuff? Why do they care so much about Fox Mulder?
You'd think. Because he's cute.
He is pretty cute. That's a good point. But they all laughed so hard at his joke.
Well, it's like, you know, like, oh, you're so funny.
Oh, my God.
Like
are
a
you single?
In the bar.
Man, you know what? Honestly, if they had just, like, turned it up a notch even more, then I might have turned around on it. Mm-hmm. If they were all, like, clearly flirting with
him. Like, all of them.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Like, 40 just men just in a hut flirting with Mulder. And he's like, boys, there's only one of me.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been pretty funny.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah. But we did not get that, sadly. But like you said, it seemed like they actually did some research at least. So, you know, that's better than what it could have been. I mean, yep. I guess I'm hoping / assuming that if Chris Carter was specifically invited to, you know, view certain rituals and things that he's not depicting like close practices that...
No,
he was not supposed
to
be privy to and stuff, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it said that they invited him specifically, so.
Because that was one of my questions. I was like, is this even something that, like,
no,
we're supposed to?
Yeah.
Okay. So, whatever. I mean, listen, we're all learning, etc. The Scully stuff was good. But yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't, like, totally vibing with this episode. I thought it was kind of a weak opener for a season and that it was a little bit cheap to have another cliffhanger ending right after the last cliffhanger ending. I mean, I get that they had time constraints, but, like, my God. Come on.
Every episode from now on is just a crazy cliffhanger.
Exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it 2.5 out of 5.
Whoa.
Sorry. I didn't like it very much.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right. What'd you give it?
700 stars.
What?
Out of 7 million.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I guess I did like it more than you did. You're not wrong. Yeah, the whole Navajo stuff is whatever. It's very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't great. But I liked the rest of it. I guess it was, I don't know. I feel like perhaps my conception of this episode is colored by what I know is coming, I guess. Because it's like, I don't really think, it's like a three-parter, so I think of it as all these episodes as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
I feel like I can't fully discuss my feelings on this episode until we get to the next episode, but yeah, I don't know. So I liked it. I did like the dream sequence. I'll give it, I guess, 4. Now I feel like I should give it less.
No,
I'm
going to
give
it
4. I'm giving it 4.
Come on.
I'm giving it 4 heads.
Have the courage of your convictions. Yeah. Also glad to know that it's just a three-parter and not a 25-parter.
It's a three-parter.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can discuss your thoughts in more detail once we know. And perhaps what comes after will affect how I feel about it.
Yeah, we'll see.
What if I hate it even more?
I mean, that's fine. You can if you want to.
No. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
That's it?
That's it.
Should we move on?
Let's do it.
Let's move on. All right. Next week, we will be talking about season 3, episode 2, Paperclip.
I love paperclips.
It's a mythology episode.
It shocking. Is that a reference to Operation Paperclip?
Could be. We'll find out.
Is Deep Throat a Nazi?
I don't know. We'll find out next week.
Okay. oh, yes. Okay. I remember what we do. I'm just, like, so out of it, man.
Whoa, I can't even remember.
If you would like to send us an email with any thoughts or questions or recipes or threats on our life that are very specific about what will happen, you can send us an email at scullynationpod@gmail.com. You are also welcome and encouraged to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Both of those are also at scullynationpod. And we would like to thank Groovemaster Putz for our intro and outro music. You can get their music on Bandcamp if you're so inclined.
Also, if you are enjoying our show, please give us a rating and a review on your podcatcher of choice, probably Apple Podcasts. And spread the word. Tell your friends, your family, and the desiccated alien body that you are sharing a hole in the ground in the desert with about the pod.
Do you think Mulder, like, talked to it?
Maybe.
Probably.
In his fevered delirium, perhaps.
Probably.
He probably wasn't having, you know, deep conversations with him, but...
Well, was he, like, fine for a while? I mean, he just, like, was a dude who... crawled through a tunnel.
Well, if he was fine, then why didn't he just walk back?
I don't know. Yeah. These are my questions.
I assume he wasn't fine.
But why was he not fine?
Smoke inhalation?
Oh, maybe. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, okay. He was in a boxcar that blew up.
But was he?
Yeah.
Or was he just in the tunnel? I'm so confused.
I assume they threw the thing in and then he crawled through the hole and got out through the...
Okay. Seems like he'd be burned.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably would be.
Also, doesn't the cigarette smoking man know that he's scared of fire?
We didn't even discuss Mulder's fear of fire.
Oh, yeah.
He's
going to be even more freaked out now.
Good
grief.
Horrible. Horrible. Now he has a real reason to be afraid of fire because
exactly.
He almost died.
He almost died when he was a child protecting his friend's house from looters.
Ever.
Come on.
Good Lord.
Come on. All right. Well... I've been your host, Amanda.
And I have been Ella. And remember, trust no one except for us. Just keeping them guessing.
Deep Throat, is that you?
Yes, it is.